In your Bible, please, the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. We once again find ourselves looking at the message from heaven to the earthly church. Thyatira. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, faith, service, perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. The church at Thyatira is identified here as a mature church. It's growing in grace. It's a testimony by its faith, by its love, by its deeds. And so the heavenly messenger expresses gratitude for them being all that they should be. But the visible church is a flawed church. It's a marred church. And even though this is a mature church growing in grace, verse 20, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. This is a church marred with sexual immorality, tying back 871 B.C. to Jezebel. And we spent time last week looking at this one who was used to, of course, cause the people of God to go astray as far as their morality. They were given over following the teachings of sexual immorality. But also they were spiritually in big trouble. They were sacrificing to idols. They had given themselves over to the sacrilege of idolatry. And so it was a church, though mature, seriously marred. And unless they repented, there would be judgment. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. I will make all of those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. And we saw the demise last week of Jezebel. The very existence of her was wiped out, even to the point that her body was not only dismembered but devoured by dogs. And so this is a strong warning that those who would continue to disregard the spiritual and moral base of faith, that there will be judgment. And it will be devastating. Now this is to the church. And we recognize that there is accountability for the church of Jesus Christ. And so this message is not only to the church of Thyatira, it's to us. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. A quote from the prophet Jeremiah. You may want to go back to Jeremiah chapter 17 in your Bible. About the time you're there, I'll probably be moving on. But in verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart. I also examine the mind. To reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. A message to the church at Thyatira about the necessity for repentance, and if they do not respond, judgment will come. What kind of judgment? Well, we're grateful that the Scriptures clearly give us insight as to what it means to be judged of the Lord as His child. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You remember that Paul was challenged all the way through his ministry. There were those Jews who were challenging him because he was setting forth Jesus of Nazareth, this man, as in fact God come in the flesh. They weren't buying that. But also, those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ had those come in to the church that wanted to discredit Paul as a spiritual leader of whom they should follow. And they did that by attacking his person, his credentials. Throughout his whole ministry, Paul had to address that attack. The church of Corinth was a church that was carnal, worldly. It manifests that worldliness by all sorts of contention. Parties had arisen, and they were dividing the body of Christ. Some saying we're of Paul, some of Apollos, some of Peter, and of course the more spiritual, there's always that element. We are of Christ. So the letters that Paul writes to the church at Corinth have to address this kind of carnality. And in doing so, he must address the whole issue of his ministry, its credibility. And in chapter 3, he begins by saying, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as carnal, worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy, quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men? What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters are for one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building, by the grace of God. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, wood, hay, and straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. By the grace of God, I've been given a ministry. So have others. But this ministry concerns the foundation, Jesus Christ. That foundation has been laid and it is secure. What is built upon that? What others are going to come along and say you should or shouldn't do needs to be judged very carefully. Because there is an ultimate accounting for what is built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus. And so local churches need to be very careful as to who is in that pulpit declaring the Word of God. But also, it's a personal matter of each one of us who are the church, members in particular, part of the building, part of the body. The foundation is Christ Jesus. But we have the responsibility of building on that foundation. We can either build under the guidance, direction, empowerment of the Holy Spirit, a building to the glory of God, a life to the glory of God. We do that with gold, silver, precious stone. Those valuable things that God has enabled us to produce through Him. Or, and as well along with so often, wood, hay, stubble, straw. That which isn't of any lasting, enduring value. It's going to be consumed. And so Paul is warning here that it's so important to build on the foundation in such a way that what is built lasts and it's of value to the glory of God. Not what we produce in our own efforts, in our own flesh, that will, in fact, by the mercy of God, ultimately be consumed. I know that that's the case because in 2 Corinthians, he personalizes this, which is being addressed to the church about building on that foundation. So come on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. The announcement I made earlier this morning, I want you to know that the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, simply because we're, by the grace of God, going through the book of the Revelation, this message was completed before the Tuesday night little attack. Now we know that if our earthly tent that we live in be destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. It's an interesting expression. I'm not sure what translation you have in front of you. We're using, as you know, in this study, the New International. But the Greek word there simply means to have an overwhelming, intense desire. Meanwhile, we groan, longing. We have an overwhelming, intense desire to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Spirit within us is that guarantee that what we are looking forward to is far better than what we are now experiencing. That's not mental gymnastics. That's not hope so. That's the reality of God's Spirit living within each of us. He's in us for us to remember who we are and what our destiny is. It's not here. It's not in the limitations of this life. Therefore, we are always confident to know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith. You see, it's been an interesting week with a lot of people sharing a lot of things, and the Lord's given the grace to be able to address a lot of concerns and a lot of thinking. And it's amazing just how easily we see humanistic thinking. In the natural man, everything in the natural man holds on to this life. But we're here by faith. And faith doesn't hold on to what is here. It looks forward to what is there. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer. Now that's an interesting word as well. Again, the Greek very simply says, I make a willful, willing resolve for what's best. It's not stubbornness. Possibly as the world looks at our faith, it can see selfishness. We make a willful resolve to experience what's best. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer. I make a willful resolve to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad, whether profitable or unprofitable, whether enduring gold, silver, precious stone to His glory, wood, hay, and stubble burned up at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Paul, you remember, didn't have the easiest of life and ministry. When he wrote to the church at Philippi, he was in prison. And he reminded them that what had happened, his incarceration, although it seemed not to be beneficial, was in fact just that. Very beneficial, because since he had been incarcerated, the Praetorian Guard, that elite force, a personal bodyguard of the emperor, many of them had come to know Christ. Now, remember earlier I said about his attacks from within? He says, I know there are some who are preaching Christ while I'm here to make it tougher on me while I'm here. But there are others who are preaching Christ because of their love for Him. It really doesn't matter. What the motive is, I rejoice that Christ is being preached. Because God's will is being accomplished. Now, he says, I'm going through a little struggle. The struggle is, I want to be with the Lord. That's why I'm here in prison with a dense death sentence over me. Because I know to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. To be gone from here is better. But I know, I'm confident, I have absolute assurance that I'm going to remain. Your prayers are going to allow me to be delivered from this imprisonment. The death sentence is going to be deferred. He was given confidence of that. And so, he says, I know it's for your benefit that I remain, and the Lord has made it clear to me that I'm going to, for a while. Don't know how long, but I know that by my remaining, your joy, my joy, are going to be together. We're going to rejoice in that. But all of that is in the context of what the heavenly message is to the church at Thyatira about building on the foundation of Christ Jesus to His glory by faith for the time we have, knowing that there is judgment, that there is an accountability. Now also we know that there's really bad news for those that are not in Christ Jesus, don't we? Come on back to Revelation chapter 20. And I'm reading from verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great, small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and the grave, Hades, gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in to the lake of fire. So here's this heavenly message to the church at Thyatira. The message concerns the Lord who searches the hearts, the Lord who searches the minds, and the Lord before whom man must give an accounting. For the believer, the works that we have done that are either to his glory or the things that we have done in the flesh, even disguised as things done to his glory, that will be, by his mercy, consumed at the bema. Rewards being judged, whether, as I've said before, we should not. I am not concerned about the legacy left here. What our concern should always be is the reception we receive there. Well done. Knowing that, he's calling for the church to repent, because the visible church should be a victorious church, but it isn't always. In fact, within the visible church, there are those that are no doubt illegitimate. They're not real. And judgment is going to come. Judgment is going to come on the believers, but it is also going to fall on those unbelievers that were visibly attached to the church. And so there's a tremendous warning. Judgment will come. But notice, message isn't over. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. You see, we have in these letters to the church, the visible church, the visible manifestation of our Lord and Savior here on this earth, a church that we know is marred. It's a church visible that isn't all that it should be. There is some within the church who really don't belong. There are others who belong but are not being all that we should be. There'll be judgment about that. And here in Thyatira, the heavenly messenger identifies there were those who hadn't given themselves over to the teachings and following Jezebel, the sexual immorality and the spiritual idolatry. He says, to you, victorious church, hang in there. Now is that an admonition, a challenge to do what we can do in and of ourselves to maintain, to somehow ultimately arrive in a way that is pleasing to him? Well, come on over to Peter's letter, 2 Peter chapter 3. Where he says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to get your thinking straight here. There were those who had crept in, and remember, that were contaminating the truth, false teachers. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, You must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's words, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and with water. By water also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The scoffers, the false teachers, those without faith, nothing's changed. There's nothing to this promise of His coming. Well, we know that the Lord does things in His way, in accordance with His timing. But be assured, what He has declared, He'll deliver. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. It will burn up. It will fly apart. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. And if you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness. That's why He's going to remind them that He's the bright morning star. He is the dawning of everything new. So then, dear friends, since we are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means deliverance, salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, now and forever. The letter of Jude, verse 17. Dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. False teachers. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Church at Thyatira, those of you who haven't given yourself over to following the teachings of Jezebel, there's victory. The only thing I'm asking you to do, keep on going. Grow in grace. Realize that in the light of all that is coming, we're His. We're to live as His. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. That's edification. Building us up. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corruptible flesh. Church of Thyatira, church in Naples, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Grow in grace. And reach out to the lost. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Church of Thyatira. Verse 24 again, now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, only hold on to what you have until I come. And to him who overcomes, the victor, the one in Christ Jesus, and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Not only are we, by his mercy and grace, delivered from judgment, we're now part of the family of God. But it's as though God even wanted to lavish even more upon us, that he says, you're going to rule and reign with me. You're going to experience things that are yet to be experienced in a way that makes everything right. To him who overcomes and does my will, to the end I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter, referring to Christ's rule, but we with him. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Revelation chapter 11. We've read these verses before. It's coming to the end. Verse 15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, who are seated on their thrones before God, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. We're going to be experiencing the rule and reign with him over the nations. That's why he concludes by saying he's going to give us the morning star. Chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, the dawning of everything that is new and that is good. Thank you, Father, for these moments together. Thank you for allowing us to worship you, to hear from heaven, and by your Spirit to respond in a way that redounds to your eternal praise and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.